This is Roy Hales with the Eco Report, asking what works, what doesn't, and what can we do about it.
The views and opinions expressed in this morning's program are from private individuals, and not necessarily those of the Cortez Radio Society, its board, staff, or programmers. As a recent post to the Tideline suggests, there seems to be an undercurrent of spite, allegation, sabotage, and just plain nastiness following the October 20th re-election of Noba Anderson as Cortez Island's representative on the Strathcona Regional District Board. Some of her opponents do not appear to accept the results. On January 7th, 2019, the Campbell River Mirror revealed that 14 Cortez Island residents filed a petition in the Supreme Court of British Columbia to have Noba Anderson removed from office. They allege that Anderson took money from her constituents for personal gain, and a number of those same constituents received gifts and grants in return. 8 Cortez Island organizations were accused of bribing Anderson and receiving kickbacks. The petitioners did not send a copy of their allegations to any of the organizations being defamed. So though I am the president of Cortez Radio, I did not discover that CKTZ was on the list until last week. The petitioners claim that the donations that two of our DJs and a board member made to a GoFundMe campaign for Bernie Anderson after his cabin burned down were actually a bribe for his daughter Noba. The alleged bribes were $75, $100, and $50. The station supposedly received a kickback through the Strathcona Regional District's Grant and Aid Program. If the petitioners had checked the records, which you can find on the Strathcona Regional District website, they would have discovered Cortez Radio was not in the Grant and Aid Program at the time. We have not applied for or received a grant in aid since 2017. Our DJs and board member gave donations to the victim of a fire. Of course, this story is much bigger than Cortez Radio. According to local resident Rick Bochner,
this is about our electoral process being denied. I don't care who won the last election if we had a legal vote, and now it's being challenged for all kinds of reasons that I don't think bear any truth. And I'm really unhappy about it. I think it's our democratic process that we need to protect here, and it's not anything with names attached to it. The outcome's the outcome, and if the other side had won, I'd be prepared to go, "You won. Okay. We didn't do well enough." So I don't understand this kind of backdoor politics and using the other directors of the regional district as your pipeline and bypassing your own representative. I don't like challenging voters. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good to me. So I think it's time that those of us who haven't been active in the regional district politics need to sit up and pay attention and do something, write letters, go to meetings, and try and get the process back on track. We're going to end up having referendums on referendums on referendums for everything we want and care about here.
Bochner is also referring to 2 earlier incidents, which have largely gone unnoticed. Shortly after the election, the RCMP came to the island with a list of people who had supposedly not lived on Cortez long enough to be eligible voters. This piqued the curiosity of D. Clark, who subsequently interviewed 5 of the people accused of casting illegal votes. I asked her if the allegation was true.
Of the 5 that I spoke to, no, they were not. They were able to prove their bona fides to the police.
On December 8th, the Campbell River Mirror revealed the fact that Area D Director Brenda Lee has been receiving emails from disgruntled Cortez Island voters, which she refuses to disclose to our director, Noba Anderson, or to the public. The incident is connected to the Strathcona Regional District's decision to set aside the results of the recent referendum on whether to have a referendum on Cortez Island's proposed hall tax. Clark says,
I have sat on boards, and boards that I have been on if some member of the public lobbies a board member on a specific issue, it's that board member's responsibility, perhaps, to bring that to the board, but not to conceal the identity of the person doing the lobbying. Correspondence received should be correspondence received. It should go into some kind of record. Otherwise, of course, how would you know whose opinions or interests any board member was representing?
I tried to set up an interview with one of the petitioners. She had the decency to return my phone call, but did not wish to comment. She doubted that any of the other petitioners wished to comment either. They've been receiving a lot of flack since the Campbell River Mirror published that story. The catalyst for this particular lawsuit is a cabin fire.
I'm Lavna Harvey, and I am connected to the story because I witnessed the fire and was the initiator of the GoFundMe campaign for Bernie Anderson, Noba's dad. Maybe I can just tell you the story of what happened. So we got a call in the late afternoon, a bit of a panicked call from Pete, who's Noba's partner, who had just come home and discovered Bernie's cabin already completely engulfed in flames. There was no one else on their property with the exception of Bernie at that time. So our family ran up through the woods about, 200 meters to the fire. And immediately when we left our house, we could see the smoke billowing, but we hadn't seen it previous. So we ran up there, and sure enough, the cabin was, I'd say at that point, it was a third gone. The entire roof was engulfed in flames. And we have a fire suppression system on our land, so we immediately took action to suppress the fire and contain the fire. We have identical pumps and fire hoses on each person's property. We have four families that live on our land. And so we connected the fire hose, and my son and another boy that lives on the land, and my husband and my daughter, and Pete started fighting the fire. At that time, I saw Bernie sitting in the driveway. He had no shoes. He had just the clothes he was wearing, and even the clothes that he was wearing had burn marks in his pants. And I went over and said, "Bernie, what happened?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know." He was just really confused. And he didn't know how the fire started. He didn't know how he had gotten out of the building. And right around that time, Noba arrived on the scene, and she took one look at the burning cabin, saw her father sitting in the driveway, and immediately just went and hugged him and just said, "Oh, thank my lucky stars that you got out. Thank you for having enough awareness that you got out of the fire, Dad," and just held him. And within, I'd say, a half an hour, she was already just, not grieving the loss of this building at all, but just really so grateful that her dad was alive, because it really could have taken a very, very tragic turn. I mean, losing the cabin was a tragedy, but it could have taken a really tragic turn if Bernie had lost his life that night. So that was January 31st, 2018, that it happened. So basically, by, February 1st, Bernie was living in Noba's house, in Zyla's bedroom, her one-year-old daughter's bedroom. And right away, her friends, I consider myself a good friend of Noba's and land partner, we started to talk about how we could support Bernie in getting a dwelling back so he wasn't occupying Zyla's bedroom. And at first we talked about a cabin because it was a cabin that had burned down, but very quickly that turned to just a bedroom added onto the house because I think we all realized that Bernie needed more care. And also it was better for him to not be so isolated in a cabin, but to be in the household where there was a lot of energy and activity, and he could be with his granddaughter and he could be with his daughter. Noba is his caregiver. She has power of attorney for Bernie's affairs. And so during that month, right after the fire, I just talked to Noba a lot about wanting to do a fundraiser for Bernie. Noba was hesitant because of her position in the community, but I assured her that there was, no connection between her being Noba Anderson, citizen of Cortez, daughter of Bernie Anderson, who had just had this tragic event happen, and that everybody who has a fire on Cortez ends up with a fundraiser. It's just what we do for each other. It's part of the fabric of who we are on Cortez Island. It's how we support each other, how one of the beautiful things that we do here is we form like a safety net around people who have had tragic circumstances, and we support them financially or otherwise.
While there have been many fundraisers for previous fire victims on Cortez Island, this is the first time a regional director's father was involved. 14 disgruntled Cortez Island residents subsequently filed a petition whose stated intention is that Anderson be disqualified from holding office until the next general local election. Their alleged proof that 8 Cortez Island volunteer organizations were using the GoFundMe campaign to bribe Noba Anderson and received gifts and grants in return is in the petition's list of alleged facts. The authors of this document appear to carefully avoid providing the context or stating the amounts involved in their allegations. According to Lovna, who administers the GoFundMe campaign, all of the donations above $100 came from members of the extended Anderson family. Most of these were made anonymously. A number of people with some connection to a Cortez organization, whether it be a member or director, made contributions of between $20 and $100. This is the money that Noba Anderson allegedly took from her constituents for personal gain. The petition also states that Anderson gave those same constituents gifts and grants in return. This document lists amounts from the Strathcona Regional District's Grant in Aid Program. The Strathcona Regional District set up the Grant in Aid Program to assist nonprofit organizations that are serving Cortez Island. George Cirque explained Cortez Radio's participation in the Grant in Aid Program when I interviewed him during the last election.
I funded the radio station that we are now going to be broadcast on, CKTZ, when it was in its infancy. Right at the very beginning, Amber Sprungman came up to me and said, "We want to start a radio station." I went, "No kidding, you know, and we need some money." Well, discretionary grants and aids, right? And so I gave the little bud of an idea of a radio station $1,000. And the next year, I gave it another $1,000 as it progressed. And then I believe I gave it 3 years in a row. And then I left office. I got them their grub steak. So you can be sitting there interviewing me, and we have this wonderful radio station.
I suspect that every one of the organizations being defamed in this petition has a similar story. However, if the allegation against Cortez Radio was a movie, it would probably have a title like Dumb and Dumber Do a Lawsuit. As the petitioners could not find any reference to Cortez Radio receiving a grant in aid since 2017, they listed that in their court filing. Maybe they thought there was a reference to a 2018 grant somewhere else and they missed it. Nope. I haven't applied for or received a grant in aid during the entire time I've been president. One of Cortez Radio's directors and his wife donated $50 to the GoFundMe campaign. But Barry and Amanda Glickman are better known for what the petition dismisses as running a ham radio course which is funded by the SRD. This is a colossal understatement. Over the course of the last 3 years, the Glickmans have brought the Emergency Communications Network into being in communities throughout the Strathcona Regional District.
The reason we're so upset, or I'm upset about what's going on, is I don't believe that very many of our island neighbors have any idea how much effort, work has gone into this. And to be accused of profiting is very depressing.
I know you've received some compensation. Forget profit. Has the compensation covered your expenses?
Absolutely not. When the program started, there was no funding for anything. And we were basically told this by our earlier emergency coordinator, Howie Siemens, "I have no funding for you, but I support you, but I can't give you any money."
And unfortunately, in order to get a program running, you have to demonstrate, which means that there has to be an initial outlay. So Barry and I just thought, somebody's got to do this, so we did it. So we spent probably about $5,000 in equipment that we loaned, if you'll say, really part of it ended up donated to Strathcona Regional District in order to get a packet system working so that we could actually work with the rest of the island during the event of an emergency or a disaster. And that doesn't, of course, include the transportation time, the ferry time, accommodation. In order to make these meetings down island, we have to stay two nights because we can't make it by the first ferry, and by the time the meeting is finished, we can't catch the last ferry home. We have at times, for example, while teaching in Campbell River and Sayward, taken our sailboat over because those courses have had to run over a period of 1 or 2 months. And so we've actually had to pay rent, if you will, moorage, and live on the boat while in Campbell River. And that's had tremendous cost. The house has suffered because we haven't been able to maintain it for the last 2.5 years because of all the traveling around and moving around. In terms of time that we put in, for the last 2.5 years, Barry and I have spent between 20 and 40 hours a week, each of us, working on this program. Writing reports, getting information, training people, which is the biggest one, writing manuals, training material.
Did Noba Anderson fund any of this? And how do you feel about the allegation that you bribed her $50 to receive funding?
We gave it to Bernie.
Barry and I know Bernie. He's a wonderful fellow. And our donation was not to Noba, it was to Bernie. Bernie is now at a point in his life where he needs support. And who would be the best person to support him? His daughter, Noba. And so it was a very, very small amount of money, but it was something that would at least help a little bit. And if enough people helped, it meant that Bernie would have a place to live. He wouldn't have to go into a long-term care facility, which we all pay for anyways through our tax dollars, but it's not a nice way to spend your final years. But Noba, in terms of the emergency program and what we do, although she supports it, she has nothing to do with it. She's not involved in anything that we do in terms of emergency communications. So for us to bribe her to give us privileges wouldn't work.
Another one of the alleged bribes was $100 from the Harveys. In their statement of facts, the petitioners claim Ryan Harvey is on the board of the Friends of Cortez Island Society, which they call FOCUS. The most recent grant is a $1,500 donation of funds to assist with the new Parks and Trails Committee work. The grant was approved at the October 10, 2018 Strathcona Regional District Board meeting, of which Anderson was a participant. Mr. Harvey is paid to do the trail repairs on Cortez Island Parks. The position has never been placed up for tender. I want you to keep track of these specific allegations.
Ryan, for the last 17 years, has performed the parks maintenance contracts for the regional parks on Cortez Island. So that's Quas Park and Carrington Bay Park. And those contracts are administered by FOCI, and FOCI gets the contracts from the SRD, from the Strathcona Regional District. Ryan is not on the board of FOCI, and he's never been on the board, and these contracts come up for tender every few years. So when I examined the court petition, it stated in the petition as a fact that Ryan Harvey was on the FOCI board, which he's not, and that his work doing the regional parks has never come up for tender, which it does regularly. So the biggest thing that I noticed when reading through the petition was just the amount of inaccuracies. And besides there being spelling mistakes, referring to Noba as a him instead of a her, mistakes in people's names, the facts being not facts at all, and it being such a weak case. I mean, in this petition, they're talking about somebody who is working as a janitor for Manson's Hall, like, you know, that this person working as a janitor gave to the GoFundMe page in some way to benefit Manson's Hall in getting some funding. And so it's just so far reaching, so really left field.
Lovna also disagrees with a legal interpretation being put forward by the petitioner's lawyer. It says, I quote, Anderson has violated the requirements and terms of her elected position and the very standards of conduct, honesty, and integrity required of an elected regional government official. Anderson swore an oath of office where she would disclose direct or indirect pecuniary interest and would not participate or vote in respect of those matters. Anderson has not declared the monies that she received from the GoFundMe campaign and has voted to provide grants and aid to organizations in which a number of physicians who donated to her GoFundMe campaign are active. The Community Charter, Part 4, Division 6, Conflict of Interest, permits of the disqualification from holding office on a council in the event that the elected member participates in a conflict of interest and exercises their powers contrary to the provisions of the Charter. The Community Charter permits application to the Supreme Court in the event that the disqualified person continues to act in office. Anderson has contravened the conflict provisions of the Local Government Act of BC and the Community Charter and continues to act in office. End of quote. This must be why the petitioners made those incredibly stupid allegations about 8 Cortes Island organizations. In order to remove Noba Anderson from office, they needed to show she's acting in a conflict of interest. I have a question for them. If the fact 2 of Cortes Radio's DJs made donations to Bernie Anderson's fire relief fund suggests we were actually bribing Noba, what does the fact that another one of our DJs is one of the 14 signatories on your petition say? While you think about that, this is what Lovna found about your analysis.
I did just a little bit of research, probably a half hour of research, and I went to the BC Laws website and looked up the Community Charter. The Community Charter is basically an act that governs the public participation and council activities, so activities of councillors or regional directors. And Division 6 of the Community Charter is called Conflict of Interest, and in Section 105 of Division 6, there's a part on restrictions on accepting gifts. So it says that a council member or regional director must not accept a fee, gift, or personal benefit that is connected with the member's duty of office in any way. And of course, in the case of NOBA and the fundraiser that we did for Bernie, the GoFundMe page, there's no connection to her duty of office. There's no connection between a fire and her father and NOBA Anderson as regional director. But then again, in Section 106, even if Section 105 was to be true, in Section 106, it's called disclosure of gifts. And this section applies if a council member or regional director receives a gift that exceeds $250, they're supposed to disclose it. But even in the case of NOBA, if Section 105 was proved to be true, which of course it's not, in Section 106, it says that she only needed to disclose that gift if it was over $250, which not a single donation received from a Cortes Island person on the GoFundMe site was in excess of $250.
While the idea of challenging a lawyer's legal interpretation on the basis of a half-hour Google search makes me nervous, Titian has an otherwise isolated reference to a $900 anonymous donation. This suggests the petitioners were aware of the $250 clause, but they did not know that this donation was made by one of Noba's off-island relatives.
The two really striking points of the situation that we're in now, you know, the two things that I feel like I can get my hands on in the morass of detail and backstory and brain-numbing history that goes behind this, because all family feuds are infinitely detailed. The story is never-ending because there is always more detail to every single part of it, and we can get so drowned in the details that you feel like you're losing your grip on the situation. And to me, there's two handholds, two things that I think are places where I can get a grip on this mess. One is that the attack on NOBA is a real violation of who Cortes thinks it is. There is a mean-spiritedness to it. The particular opportunity that was seized for this attack, the case of her demented father, who she's trying to care for at home, burning his own cabin down. He's lucky that he didn't die in the fire. And that her neighbors did exactly what Cortez neighbors always do when someone has a family disaster, without even thinking reflexively. Her neighbor and good friend starts a GoFundMe to try to raise some money to help them cope with this emergency. That's a reflex on Cortez, and that's a wonderful reflex, and it's one of the reasons that we like to live here, is because the community is like this. It would be very weird if the day of the disaster someone had said, wow, this is really bad. You know, we should go consult the municipal code and the law books and see if we're allowed to do something about this. That would have been a very non-Cortez way to think about it. So that's something that's really anomalous. That's just so not Cortez to do that. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. The other point to me that's grippable, that's kind of tangible, and you can get a hold of it without having to know, 25 years of Cortez politics, is that it's just not okay for people to be lobbying a regional director who's not their own regional director, and to have that lobbying be kept secret, and then to have that influence votes that are made at the next level of governance. There's something just fundamentally not right about that. And that to me is a tangible point that I personally can get a grip on. I believe, on limited evidence, but I think reasonable evidence, that SRD has known about these allegations prior to January 3rd, when the petition was amended to bring it up to 14 signatures. And another question that I have for SRD is, why have they been so secretive about this? Because if we had known that these allegations were being made against our regional director and against 28 innocent bystanders and against, what, 6 or 7 nonprofit organizations?
8
nonprofit organizations.
Oh, 1's profit. Okay.
If we had known that, the response to those accusations would have begun a lot sooner. And essentially, this process has been a process of ambush. These complaints have not been filed with the organizations. There's been no discussion in Tideline. There's been no... I feel like the whole campaign has been kept quiet and has been released strategically, because the object is not to challenge community process or challenge those organizations. The object is specifically to get NOBA fired. That is the object. If it had been done with a goodwill out of community spirit or a genuine feeling that maybe this wasn't correct, I think it could have been discussed openly. And instead, my perception at this point is that SRD has kept it secret, and the rest of us had to find out when the petition became public knowledge through BC court records. I do fault SRD for that. I do. I think that's not appropriate. I think, in a sense, they've made themselves complicit in this tactic of ambush, and I'm not real happy about that.
At the moment, we do not know what is in those emails that the Strathcona Regional District is withholding from the public, or if there is any relationship between them and the petition to remove NOBA Anderson from office, and it looks like the petitioners are taking their case to court. You've been listening to interviews with Rick Bochner, Dee Clark, Barry and Amanda Glickman, and Lovna Harvey. I also reached out to one of the petitioners who declined to comment. The views and opinions expressed in this morning's program are from private individuals, and not necessarily those of the Cortez Radio Society, its board, staff, or programmers.
This is Roy Hales with the Eco Report, which you can also access at theecoreport.com. Goodbye.